Good morning, good morning. I am going to get you to be a little bit more robust and a little bit more active this morning. So can you say a couple of things with me this morning? I'm going to be speaking on God loves a city, but he needs the flavor of sonship. And that's what I'm going to speak on this morning. So if you can say to yourself and say to someone in your vicinity that I'm full of favor. Flavor as well, and favor. I'm an influencer. I'm a change agent. Where I go, things happen. I'm salt. I'm salty. I'm going to be more salty today. I'm full of light. My salt influences. My light attracts. Okay, thank you. We've got some cobwebs out of you this morning. So we put up that. I'm not that good as George and the guys with my thing. Check how blurred that is on my computer. It looks fine, but it looks blurry right there. But anyway, you get the drift. God loves our city, but he needs the flavorful ones out in the city. And that's what I was speaking about this morning. So why don't you put up that first scripture, and I've just got a whole bunch of scriptures for us this morning to remind us again of who we are. Because God don't have another plan. He's got us as the sons and the daughters of God who are full of flavor, and we go and flavor our city by our lives and our lifestyles. So Matthew 5:13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. Say, I am the salt of the earth. Thank you. It says, but if salt has lost its taste, how will its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Say this after me, I am the light of the world. Because Jesus said so. A city set on a hill. You and I are messengers, and we've got a message. And the mandate of the church is this, to see the kingdom of God outwork itself in all of society. You and I, we salt and we light. And revival in church history, it's like a fire. It always starts at the bottom. It starts kind of what you would think of the poor in spirit, and often the poor financially or economically. Why? It's because there's a dependence for more. There's a dependence on. There's a connection to. And the higher you go up in society, often people's dependence changes. Because now we've got resource. We've got natural resource. We've got wealth. We're okay. We're making it. We're our monthly budget. And all we increasing or we improving, and there's wealth and there's excess. So often what happens in the Bible often speaks to Jesus, and he's often correcting the rich. He's saying, hey, the rich, come back here, because it's our distraction. We get distracted with what we have, and we lose some of our dependency. And you see that when even this rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, hey, good teacher. And Jesus said, hey, why are you calling me good? Only the Father's good, because Jesus was connecting himself to being God. You understand what I'm saying? And then that young rich ruler changed from good teacher to teacher, because he did not want to, he thought, that's a good teacher, but I'm not going to connect my life to you as Savior. Because Jesus then drilled it down with this young man. He said, hey, listen, go and sell everything and come follow me. And while Jesus was saying that, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. So Jesus loved him, called him to himself. He didn't ask that of anybody else. He asked it of him because he knew where his attention was. And he went back to the law, says, I'm being perfect. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, hey, go and sell everything. But a revival fire started at the bottom. And through church history, revival fire, or the move of the Spirit of God through believers, should have never ended. It should, as if there's a fire up against that wall, it should become a bonfire and reach all of society. It should reach society's mind shapers. Those who shape culture, those who have influence in decisions, that's where the gospel needs to reach. And you see, we see it in Paul's life. He wasn't only reaching one level of person, he was eventually invited into Caesar's palace, etc., etc. The high commanders of society that we get in there, and it shapes society. That people then get a biblical worldview of how God wants the earth to look. And guess what? He's got no other plan but you and I. And we have to start with our saltiness, but maybe you've lost some of your saltiness. And how do we get our salt back instead of being thrown out? There's this beautiful thing called renewing your mind about who God is and who you are and what our mandate is. Because our mandate is to enter into society and to reach it with the influence of the kingdom of God. You see, salt is evenly placed over the plate, yes? How often have you poured salt and someone has turned the lid off and then all of the salt goes onto that one meal? You don't want to eat that, do you? Because it's too salty. So often that happens here. If you think of a plate as the whole city, and then the church is on the one side of the plate, we take the salt and we pour it on the side of the plate. That shouldn't happen. We should have that closed, and all of us, as we gathered as grains of salt, we go out and we allow the Lord to shake us all over society. Because salt has to preserve and influence all of society. Your work, your family, your home, your school. Your sphere of influence must look better because you've been there. It must taste better. There must be a flavor to it. It must smell better. Sorry for you guys who don't eat salt because you think it's bad for you. But in the kingdom, salt's awesome. It's very, very good for you. But you see, we don't pour the salt on the food and eat it because that's not good for you. Little flavor all over the city. Our city needs to be flavored by you and I. And what we carry, not only what we carry, but who we are. Because we're so different. You might look the same to the rest of the world, but you're different when you believed. You entered into the realm of this kingdom where everything else functions so differently. You and I used to function a certain way, and that's why, you know, dead people can't really make good decisions, can they? So we had to be made alive in Christ. We're made alive in Christ, but as soon as we make ourselves alive in Christ, we give ourselves to some systems. So either you got into a religious system or even a system of the church. Not this one. This one's awesome. Fantastic. I'm being serious. And then we give ourselves to systems and we are governed by principles, but there's a higher realm. It's called the realm of sonship, where there is no law because the fruit of the Spirit operates there and it looks like Jesus. So you can get what you want by observing principles, by good discipline, all of those things, which is fantastic, but there's a higher realm and you and I have been born into that realm and it's called the realm of sonship. And that's what you and I get to go and release. I'm way off my notes and it's awesome. You and I are influencers and the light that we are. Guess what? People want to run to the light because there's safety there, isn't it? I've got a friend, he wants to lighten up every rural place, and in that light he wants to put Wi-Fi so everyone can be educated. Why? Because where there's light, you feel safe. You can see. You feel protected. You want to run to the shelter. It's shelter, it's nourishment, it's protection. Because that's who you are. You're an influencer and you're full of attraction. That's who you are. See, the gathering is so important because it's got such a purpose that we find ourselves connected with God, connected with His presence. It's not only, oops, I better go to church because I think I'm right outside. If you feel you're outside, you need to get reconnected. And I want to tell you, I'm going to show you why. It's because there's the evidence of the flesh and then there's fruit of the Spirit. Now, one leading evangelist, in the States, of course, not South Africa, because we live in a higher realm. Jokes. Can't say that on stream. I can say it here. See, a leading evangelist, he said, right now, through the research that they've done, he says only 15% of professing Christians are truly born again. That's quite a startling statement. Now, I don't know if that's fully true or fully accurate, but I do know, because I've met people who profess that they are Christians, and I know that I know that I know that they're not born again. Because there's no fruit of repentance, there's no fruit in their life. And I ask myself the question all the time, Lord, why is that? You know, the Bible says faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Yes? Well, what word of Christ have they heard? Because many churches, because of our post-Christian culture, we're wanting it to look right, taste right, and we don't want to offend anybody. So therefore, we preach what is palatable, and it looks like a political system instead of the kingdom. You see, the truth that offends you is that very same truth that can set you free. I love it. And the Bible says he's the rock of offense. It's a scandalon. This is a capstone where people find themselves tripping because of it's too good to be true. Good people aren't going to heaven, believers are. And you and I are the salty ones to rescue people from an eternity of hell. Because it's true. Let's not pass over it and make it seem all pretty. You can live like you want. You don't have to believe in Jesus. And guess what? No. There's an eternity. We need an eternal perspective. But you and I get changed with eternity within us, heaven within us. Guess what? You get to release that because it looks like heaven's culture. See Galatians. Now, we can put Galatians up there, please. If you're led by the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. You see this, let me quickly define here. You and I, Christ was the end of the law for righteousness' sake. Okay? You and I can only get the gift of righteousness through what we believe that Christ has fully accomplished. Does that mean that now we toss out the law of the land? No, you go to jail. You see, the Ten Commandments, friends, does not get you into heaven, but it makes you a brilliant person in society. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as you do, as yourself. The first four of those commandments is loving God. The next six is loving your neighbor. Now, doing all those things, thinking that's going to get you into heaven, is the mistake, because no one has perfectly done it but yet Christ. So therefore, we come up against the mirror of that law, and guess what? We need a Savior. And that's why we entered in through Christ, the only way. The only way. You and I, we entered into that. And he says, now, as you came to him, now continue in him. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're going to do a whole lot more than what the law requires. Don't you want to do a whole lot more than what society and its law requires of us? I will do just enough to get by. You know, there's so much corruption out there, therefore I'm going to withhold my taxes. I'm going to withhold. No, you see, we're kingdom sons and daughters. We connected there because that's where our eternity, that's where our resource, that's where everything comes from. So therefore, I will do that and be a product of society that is an example to others that looks crazy at times. It is that crazy because you have got the life of Christ in you. And you're connected with that life. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, he's speaking to people who say they're born again, who say they're Christians. He's saying, hey, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That happens in the world. Now, there's people from Monday to Saturday that live like that, and then they come to church.
How you all doing?
That's not going to change the world. That's not going to change society. And guess what? You remove yourself from connection with the Father. So your idea of coming to church is to, God, please forgive me and I'm okay. Can we move from that place of, Father, I'm a son? I might make mistakes on the journey, but I'm making less on my journey. So Barna Research, now let me carry on. I looked at the time and I thought, I better hurry. But verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law, precept, or principle. So we're living by the very Spirit of God who came and invested His life in us when we believed. You know what God's love language is? You believing. He loves it. Loves it. Because you're trusting in His work and saying, it was perfect. So Barna Research, again, okay, let me finish the scripture, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. You crucified, you go to Romans 6, you'll see that happened to you when you believed. And if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. There's so many beautiful definables in this gospel. If you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. As I said, Barna Research, they did a survey where most Christians are confused about their salvation. I'll read this. The results of a recent survey indicated that most Protestant Christians don't understand or believe their own theology about salvation. The Barna Research Group asked over 6,000 adults nationwide, can a good person earn their way to heaven? The percentage of those responding yes were as follows. Assemblies of God, 22%. Baptist, 38%. Presbyterian, 52%. Lutheran, 54%. Episcopalian, 58%. Methodist, 59%. Roman Catholic, 82%. That's why I'm saying my life hasn't changed because the life of Christ is yet to come into me. Because I need to believe that my works are never going to get me there. My works are now a display of the work of Christ in me, but it didn't get me in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If there isn't a clear presentation of true salvation, there's not going to be any faith to receive it. You see, the gospel that you and I have need to carry in our heart is not one of man needing to go through a whole bunch of hoops. You have to present Christ and His fullness and what He fully accomplished. We have to learn about the history of Christ. There's so much history of Christ. There's more history of Christ than there is of all the Caesars of all time in Roman culture. There's more about Christ that's written. We can go and search out the scriptures. You can go and read the documents. Go and find out who He was and look at His life and go, I'm determining that that is the recourse of my life. So either we get saved into membership or holy living, or we get saved into an environment that said, hey, because Christ died for all mankind, it doesn't matter what you do, you're saved. And I had a conversation with a universalist the other day. It's called ultimate reconciliation. Because Christ died, everyone is saved. It's not true. You need to believe. You need to confess Christ as Lord to enter into the kingdom. So I had a conversation with him, and he was brilliant in his conversation, and he was taking scriptures, and he was using them in context and then out of context. And I just waited for him to finish, and I asked him, so, can you tell me about free will then? He's like, what do you mean? I said, but do you believe that God gave you free will? He's like, of course. I said, but I don't think you really believe it because your God is narcissistic. He's a control freak. He's going, I died for you in Christ, reconciling all men to myself. Therefore, I don't care if you believe in Christ or not, you will be saved. See, God's not like that. Imagine those who don't want Christ, and there's many. There's many who are spending eternity without him because they haven't heard of who he is. But now, God is a controller. You will be saved whether you believe it or not. So he didn't have an answer to that. So really good, if you're going to debate a universalist, it's really good. Ultimate reconciliation, so good. So go say, your God's so controlling, you have no choice in the matter. No, our choice gives us entrance and changes our lives. And we become salty. We become salty. What good is the willful sin that you're committing? What good is it doing? It's not doing any good for you. And it's not doing any good for society, for your family, etc., etc. Not doing any good. So let's go to Ephesians 2. Sorry, it's been a long introduction. Ephesians 2, I just want to remind you again. And you, now Paul's speaking to you and I, says, and you were dead in your trespasses and your sins in which you once walked. Say, I once walked that way. I once walked that way. You might have walked in here this morning and last night you were walking that way. I'm going to say to you, you once walked that way. Following the course of this world, following the prince in the power of the air, the spirit is now at work in the sons of disobedience and unbelief. That's his word, unbelief there. Among whom we all once lived. Say, once lived. In the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. What did Galatians say? Those who are in Christ have crucified their desires and their passions. But God, say, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Jesus, so that the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's what the world needs to see. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one can boast. Do you know that nothing of your works gives you any credit? You know, the high priest in the old covenant, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he was not allowed to sweat. There was no self-effort. In the kingdom, it's about receiving a gift that's been given, not earning a reward. So we come into the kingdom, we receive that, but then we go straight back to our works to try and determine the pleasing and the pleasure of the Father. You see, the world needs to see your saltiness, your convincedness, your full persuasion of who you are. That's what the world needs to see. The world doesn't need to see another corrupt Christian. The world doesn't need to see another Christian that professes something but acts something completely different. The world needs to see you living out who you truly are. So for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. You see, Jesus said this in John. I don't know if I got the scripture. John 6:27 says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval. Isn't that a beautiful? And then they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he sent. When we believe, the Father's love language comes alive. Mark 9:50, it says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how are we going to make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. And it happens by you and I renewing our minds. Remember the scripture. Do not conform to the pattern of this world or its system, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Your mind is that important to God that it needs to be renewed, because He wants you to function out of a mind of Christ. And when we are in unbelief, we are warring against the very thing that exists within us called the mind of Christ. I want to remind you and I quickly of what God's plan for you and I is. And if we can go to Ephesians 1, please. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Man, can you believe these scriptures? Because it changed your life. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world was created after He chose you and had Him, had you in His mind. You know, earth was created like, oh, I'm going to create my sons and daughters. Look how magnificent they are. I'm going to create a planet that they can exist in and enjoy. Not destroy, enjoy. Anyway, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He created you inside of Himself before the foundations of the world. For what reason? To be holy and blameless in love. That's your mandate. That's you and I. That's that there is your normal. Because He had it in His mind before the foundations of the earth. That's amazing, isn't it? We look at creation's account and we go, okay, that was all created. But He created that because He had you in mind to influence it. Having predestined us to adoption as sons, and the one translation says, as beloved sons, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Let me help us here. It's awesome news. Verse 3, God's desire for us has always been that we be the sons of God. Always. Before we existed, the Father wanted us to be sons and His daughters. All you are needing now and all you wanting now is found in the heavenly places in Christ. And this needs to be received as sons. You can work for it and you can get yourself into a system. Even though God is good and He wants to fully supply all of those things, but we get ourselves into systems of going, if I do that, 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 and then God says, okay, you can function by that system. I want you to function as a son, but if you want to function by those systems, you can. I'm still going to be good, but how you receive is through your system that you plan and that you put in place. And this is secured in your spirit man. And our soul realm, our mind, will, and emotions needs to be in agreement with that, and then it flows. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions needs to agree with who you are. Wake up. I'm a son who is salty. I'm not a son who is sulky. That just came. A renewed mind, agreeing with what is already yours and agreeing with who you already are. You see, God is amazing. I don't know how He did that, but He starts with the end product with you and I. Starts with the end product. And He says, okay, I'm going to now live it out. And we meander and we move and we press, and there's temptations and there's influences and there's things that take our mind and our heart away from. The seed is sown and it's found sometimes on a hard place or a rocky place or thorns. And in those thorns, it's going, oh man, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, and it chokes the word. And then we go, oh man, okay, Jesus, I want to start again. I want to repent. I want to metanoia. I want to renew my mind. Let me go back to this place. And the best place to go is back to the table, and you break bread and you go, oh yes, Jesus, this is where it is. That's why communion is so important. It's not a something to check. It's something to renew our hearts and our minds of the facts of what's happened in the gospel. And Jesus said this, and it's amazing. So Jesus is walking past a fig tree, and the fig tree, out of season, is not producing fruit. So everyone normally is like, ah, it's not the season for figs. Jesus walks past as the creator, as the one who spoke the word into existence, who spoke that seed into existence. It should be responding to him who walks. The earth, the effects of sin has made the earth dull. But then Jesus came, and he said, I'm going to restore all things. And then he gives that responsibility back to you and I. You're going to restore all things. Wherever you walk will be yours, and the kingdom should be influencing you, should be salting and fertilizing wherever you walk. And Jesus walks past the fig tree. It's not producing, because it shouldn't in the natural, but in the spirit, it should have recognized the one who spoke it into being, and it should have produced fruit. It didn't. So Jesus is like, you're not going to produce fruit ever again. And he walks on. The disciples are like, maybe he's hungry, grumpy, hangry. What's going on with Jesus? Don't know what's happening. A couple of days later, they walk past, same fig tree. It's dead. They're like, Jesus, what's going on? And he says this in Mark 11. He says, have faith in God. You know, faith, the word faith means to be persuaded, to be fully persuaded. That's why doubt and faith do this. You need to feed your faith, feed your persuasion, feed yourself on the facts of what truly is. He says, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart but believes. You see, he's given us everything to remove doubt, because belief is in you. Doubt now comes from our lack of understanding of who Father is and what he's done in Christ and who you now are as the Christ-like ones. And then he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Because it is yours. Now we have to convince ourselves, agree, this mind, this will, emotion, all the stories, all the news, all the media, all my past people, my insecurities, they're keeping me in doubt. And then we go back to the Father and he reminds us. It's a problem that you only preach once in 3 weeks, then you've got 17 messages that come out at once. You see, friends, you and I are the same kind as Christ. You and I, you might look at yourself in the mirror and go, never! Look who Jesus. You're a co-heir. You're grafted in. He made you acceptable in the beloved. Sons who look like, act like, and taste like, spit zone, like Jesus. You see, Jesus is a life-giving spirit. I'm going to come land super quick, like one of those jets on one of those battleships. They land super quick. So hang on when we land now, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, I think I've got it there, buddy. Thus is written, the first Adam became a living being, a living soul, okay? That's what he was, but the second Adam became a life-giving spirit. You and I aren't meant to be living out of our soul realm as the primary reality. We're meant to be living out of our spirit, life-giving spirit, and our soul needs to be in agreement with that. Who's leading who? Is your flesh or your body? No, it once led you, but it was crucified with Christ, and it died, and it was raised up in newness of life. Guess what? In our soul realm became alive because our heart was made new, and because our spirit man was made new. You are a life-giving spirit, not only a living being. You express yourself to the world around you by being a living being who's in line with a life-giving spirit. You become holy. You get whole, lots of holes in you, and you pour out. Sure. But it's not the spirit that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was born from the earth, the man of the dust. The second man is from heaven. As the man from the dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we are born in the image of the man of the dust, so shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Come on. And it's not only when we get beamed me up and we meet Jesus. It's not only for then, it's for now. I'll tell you, I've got hundreds of scriptures to back it up. We were raised with Christ in newness of life. Put those next scriptures up and let's read them together. Thanks, buddy. Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Likewise, brothers, also have died to the law through the body of Christ that you may belong to another. You married to Christ. You're not married to the law to make you right. You married to Christ to make you right. To whom has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit to God. Say that. Fruit to God. Fruit for God. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. That was Pharaoh's original kind of call. He lost the plot. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. That's happened, friends. You know that? Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. And he died for all that those who might live might no longer live for themselves. I'll pause there. But for him who for their sake died and was raised. Ephesians, and raised us up and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See, you've got a seed in you. It's called the beloved of God. And that seed, all it's designed for is to grow. Allow it to grow. Water it with the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. Water, nourish, community, two or three together, reminding ourselves of this. The presence of God is there. Find him, find his heartbeat. The more you behave and think like a beloved son, the more you will manifest that out of your life. Jesus in you flows from you, and the world around you sees and tastes the Father. You see, friends, your body, go and do a study of the body. Your body, your DNA is the only DNA in the realm that we live in that is purposed to house the presence of God. Nothing else, no animal, no other being, no angel, no nothing. You and I created in such a perfect way to become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, we grieve the Holy Spirit because we don't believe. And then we go back into what we think is going to gain us pleasure or comfort or means. And then we quench the Spirit by not allowing him to do what he's supposed to do in and through us. Your body's created to house God Almighty. My brain go, doesn't your brain also go, eh? Because you know why we go, eh? It's because we go, not me, I'm not worthy. No, you weren't, but he made you worthy. You see, you're salty. If you've lost your saltiness, you walk into an environment and they go, oh, that oak says he's a Christian. I won't be a Christian because of that. Let me tell you, most people don't want to be Christians because of the Christians. Because we don't know who we are. We're just trying to do it like the Pharisees of old. We ain't that. Jesus died. We raised up in newness of life with him. Guess what? You entered into the love language of God by believing. I'm desperate for Jesus. I know me in my natural. He's got issues. But Christ in me, the hope of glory, don't have issues. He's amazing. He's such a good husband. He's such a word-filled, giving father. He's a great pastor. He's a great friend. He wants to change the city. He wants to do the impossible. He wants to be obedient. That other dead guy, he don't want to. See, dead things can't respond. We're alive. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Must believe this to be true. Our city needs your flavor. We're a nice big salt container, and he wants to take us, and he wants to spread us. Let's stand together. Well, I preached myself happy. I hope you received it. You're a seed of the beloved of God that wants to grow. Ooh, and you are going to be salty. Salty. We're not a salt that's poured on the side of the plate. We're meant to be in a container to be spread all over the city. Father in heaven, we are the flavor of heaven. You have poured us out. And like Paul, Lord God, let us be poured out like a drink offering for the sake of those around us, for the sake of our sphere of influence, for the sake of our city, for the sake of those who don't know you, Jesus, for the sake of a lost and a dying world. And it's chaotic, and they need light and they need salt to disrupt the chaos. So let those in the echelons that can reach people, reach them by your saltiness. And when people ask you, the Bible says, we prepared in season and out to give an answer for the hope that I have. Jesus, the sons and daughters in this room are so full of influence and so full of light. We're still alive. That means we've got life to give. We've got flavor to release. And we're called to influence. And I pray, Holy Spirit, convince, speak, teach, lead, guide. Because as we are in the Spirit, we want to keep in step with the Spirit. We're so much more than good people. We're the sons and the daughters of Almighty God. And I pray, let this rest deep in our hearts, that we can confess what you confess about our sonship, representations of the kingdom of God, the flavor of our city, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Bless you. If you've walked away from Jesus, or if you don't know Jesus, I need to speak to you so I can help you come into the gate called Jesus. Amen. Have a blessed day. Go and be flavor, and we can pray for people, and you can break bread, and amen.